We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, February 13th, the eve of Valentine's Day, but we could not care less about that because it is now baseball season. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14. And who are you?
You're a dork. I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. I think we're all fired up. That goes without saying almost, you know, for this season's long anticipated after, you know, basically losing the entire World Series by one run. I think we're all ready for it. We got a nice kickoff last weekend with softball, and we get into that here shortly.
Yeah, we're going to get into plenty. Shades on six, the whole shebang, just getting prepped, repping because I have to, all that good stuff. But yeah, talk about the sports week this past week. It was very entertaining between basketball and what we were seeing going on in softball as well with their opening weekend. Let me tell you, except I'm not going to tell you, Roy is, because that's his expertise.
Well, I figured we start with basketball, actually.
Let's go with it.
So, you know, over the weekend, Missouri game on the road. Missouri hadn't lost at home. Just a tough fought game. Missouri's a quality opponent. You know, mm-hmm. I think they're probably in that same block of the SEC as we are, because the SEC for me goes Alabama and Auburn. Yeah. And then there's a next block of people. You know, I think they are – they both of those teams have legitimate claims to be made about being the number one team in the country. Alabama's unbelievable team as well, you know, no matter what the rankings are saying, the AP stuff. But some of that will sort itself out this weekend. I believe the Basketball Iron Bowl is this weekend. So
it is.
That might be some must-watch TV. But go on the road, gut it out against Missouri, you know, and in typical Aggie fashion, you know, have some scoring droughts. Your defense keeps you in it. They opened up the game great. You know, they opened up the game and Missouri couldn't score. It's funny. That happened. I was like, oh, no, there's no way this game's going to go smoothly. Like, you can't open up the game like 13-0 and be an Aggie and expect anything less than, you know, impending doom. Missouri, the talented team, works their way back into the game. The Aggies, I think we said, and Roy said it last week, the Aggies can just stay close, you know, and weather the storm when we have those scoring droughts and weather the storm, have a puncher's chance when you're near the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And just an absolute dagger from Wade Taylor. From a play that wasn't designed to go to him. I don't know if you saw that. Mm-hmm. So Garcia had the ball up at the point. It was supposed to be a dribble drive. And Wade Taylor, you know, after he gave Garcia the ball, he went to the right. And as Garcia put the ball on the floor, Wade's defender rotated back to Garcia. So he just bounced on the ball. That actually wasn't the called play.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, ice in his veins, Wade Taylor, no problem. So he drains it. Just amazing walk off. And then, you know, you go to the midweek game and it's the first half, you put up like a high school basketball score, basically.
Right.
So that was not ideal. But again, you know, you got a puncher's chance, right? And sorry, I'm having some lighting issues over here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go into the half and, you know, the bucket right before the half, it felt kind of good. But what was weird was we go into the half and we put up just no offense, just absolutely pitiful display of basketball, quite frankly, in the first mm-hmm. half. And yet it was weird. I wasn't concerned. I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I was just like, you know what? They're going to find a way to do this.
Right.
This is Georgia. This is a Georgia team that while they're in the SEC, and I know they have talent, they're not at the level that A&M is. All right. It's just not like they might be good in a couple other conferences, but you know, this year in the SEC, it's just absolutely brutal. So I wasn't really worried. That's the funny part. They come back and then they comfortably put Georgia away, which I thought was important. While the beginning of the game was a nightmare, basically the first half, but then you go on. What is, I mean, it's hard to do this in video games to go on a 22 nothing run.
It was impressive. And over the course of that stretch, I mean, just going from where we were at the half and the largest deficit we had at that point, A&M's trailing, 34-23, we're down 11 points. And then all of a sudden, starting at 15-50, Georgia makes a free throw, and then they don't score again until sub 10 minutes. Over the
Right, so that next score was their first field goal of the second half. And don't get me wrong, Georgia made some mistakes, but Georgia didn't give that game away. That was Texas A&M going out there, exerting their will, and taking that game and taking control of it and cruising to what it eventually became a comfortable victory.
And it was. I mean, yes, the first half looked a little spotty at times. And portions, and I think that's the thing about this Texas A&M team that kind of scares me as far as looking ahead. It's this idea of we do have these stretches, from time to time where we're not scoring, we need to rely on defense. Or maybe, there's just some aspect of the team is just not clicking, but everything else continually picks it up. I like that we're seeing that, especially on the road in a competition against, Missouri. I like that we're seeing that, against a Georgia team that you should absolutely beat the pants off of, which eventually, of course, you do. But there are going to be teams down the line, especially come tournament time, that you can't afford to have those stretches at times, But the beauty, to go ahead,
I worry less about the postseason than I do the regular season because we get off to the most ridiculous slow starts at home.
True.
Like, we need to get out of Reed. Your key to success is to hit the road, man. And that was, remember that 5-game stretch in Missouri was the end of that 5-game stretch, where it was four on the road. And we said 3-2, we can live with 3-2, 4-1 would be great. 5-0, we blew it because the SIP game. 4-1 in that stretch. And the only game you lost, you absolutely just gave that game away.
You
That,
did, yeah.
I mean, that was Texas taking advantage of some opportunities, but it was opportunities that we gave them.
Right.
But the Missouri game, but that was just a hard-fought game. And again, that's one that goes either way. If Wade Taylor misses that, you go to overtime, and overtime on the road, you never like your chances, right?
No, it's always tough, but
Georgia, we get off an awful start because now we're back home. Can't believe it's like they're still in their beds, but they're able to, like, honestly exert their will on a Georgia team that just they got out talented. And the first half stats were egregious for A&M offensively. But again, that's one where the talent will just it will eventually show up when you play the full 40 minutes.
And now you're in a stretch, and we talked about the previous five where four or five were on the road. Now you've got four or five at home. You just took care of business against, you take care of your business against Georgia. Now you have an Arkansas team which has looked surprisingly good ever since their Kentucky game has continually moved. So we're looking forward to that game on the road at
Well, the Arkansas
Mississippi
game,
State.
just real quick on the Arkansas game. So this is something, and if you watch college basketball and you pay enough attention to Kentucky, you know that Calipari, the way he recruits, and it's not quite the same right now at Arkansas as it was at Kentucky, but he's got guys that are these one and dones, right? These are superstars. And it generally took him a good bit of the season to get them to gel and actually play together. And then he gets them rolling, but then he kind of bombs out in the tournament, which is why he's now in Arkansas. But this is a typical Calipari team in the sense that they're starting to hit their stride at this time of the season. So this is a big one on Saturday, but I also expect a really big crowd.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you consider what is happening this weekend in Aggieland, I mean, right now. I mean, there's so many different little events going on, but you do have opening weekend for baseball and a rivalry basketball game with Arkansas. It's going to be a big weekend, whether people like it or not. Around here, when it comes to the traffic, there will be people in town. It's going to be a party. I'm excited for everybody that's going to be in and around campus on this weekend. Very much looking forward to Friday, but should be a good time.
Yeah, I know a bunch of Aggies that are trying to do the double, between basketball and baseball on
Which
Saturday. And it looks like whether Michael Early likes it or not, or whether they like it or not, it looks like weather might push the baseball game to make that even more feasible, quite frankly.
it might.
But yeah, huge weekend. Women's tennis is playing in town too. So it's just a ton of stuff going on. We were talking about it this morning on the radio. Like, if you can't, I think I said this, if you can't find something to do in Aggieland like this time of year, it's because you're intentionally not looking for something to do.
Right. There's entertainment abound. I mean, you're gonna find something to do in and around campus. So that's exciting. And not to mention, we had somebody, he brought up like the list of all these different teams. I think it was Luke something on Twitter. He posted like all the, basically the schools that had however many number of teams that are ranked in the top 10 right now
Oh
across
yeah, saw
sports.
that. And basketball, baseball, softball, and I think tennis and golf. Like, he included all of them, and all of ours are top 10. You'll have to excuse me. I keep looking down. I've got the Aggie softball game on.
That's all good.
Playing Wichita State. They're up 3-0 in the top of the fourth.
Good.
I got to say, just out of the blue, they had the maroon helmets, with the the ATM on front,
Yeah.
but on the sides, on softball, they have the Giggum.
Big. Yeah.
I love that. Those are sharp.
One thing I will say about softball, I really like their rebrand on some of the uniforms that they got this year. Like the new
Oh,
maroon
didn't know.
ones. Ooh,
Yeah,
those.
that's what they're wearing. That's what they're wearing. I know they are sharp with the white shoulders.
Yeah. That's
Yeah,
amazing.
they're doing well. Oh, and they're also doing well right now, as a matter of fact. Okay, sorry. Anyways, so after Arkansas, keep going.
Yeah, so I mean, after Arkansas, you have a road matchup at Mississippi State. Will not be a cakewalk by any means. State's a good team. So you got
Yeah,
to
they
go.
think it's a good team and it's on the road.
Yeah, I'm about to say, and the hump has not been kind to us a lot of the time. So you got to go over there and take care of business.
That's a fair assessment.
And then you get back-to-back matchups with our Tennessee brethren. You have Tennessee and Vanderbilt both at Reed. And we'll dive into those kind of going into next week because that's two big matchups.
Well, Tennessee much bigger than Vanderbilt, quite frankly.
Right, especially Tennessee.
I think Vanderbilt is on the back end of kind of that block of teams that,
Right.
could do something, but I think they're really kind of on the back end of that. But, you just never know this year with the SEC. It's just such a ridiculous league. Did you hear, or did you see that post about Carl Ravich announcing at the Texas game? He was talking about
That might be the
the
stupidest thing I've ever heard in my
and
life
I
as a
like.
commentator.
I like Carl Ravich. I really do. I think he does great for baseball, but maybe he should stay on the diamond because for those of y'all that didn't hear it, and I'll have to paraphrase it, but he was like, he rattled off the SEC's non-conference record in basketball. And it's ridiculous. I think we had like three, it was either three or eight losses, but total across the entire league, that's how many non-conference losses we had. He said, but since conference play has started, what did he say? They're like 82 and 82 or like 52 and 52.
It's
Like,
almost like we're playing conference games and somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. You dumb idiot.
oh man,
Use
yeah, he
this
was.
gray matter in between your ears, brother. Come on. What are you
Yeah,
doing?
this ain't baseball, man. Like, this is different, all right? Yeah, schmuck.
Schmuck.
Yes, you know what's really weird? In regular season Major League Baseball, I bet you they go 500 as a league.
No. I have to do the math on that. I think you're lying. I think you're
That
full of
pays.
crap.
Yeah. I think the math checks out. Yeah, that was. But what's funny is I get what he was trying to say. Is like what he was trying to do is highlight how difficult the league is. But the league could be absolute dog shit, and we'd still be 500
I mean, yes, the league
in conference
is.
play.
Yeah, I mean, the league is tough. I mean, if you look at the league right now, I mean, just looking at the overall, there is one team that is sub 500. Suck at South Carolina. The rest of us are at
Yeah.
least at 500 or above. I mean, LSU, who is sitting 1-10 in conference play, by mind you, is 12-12. Everybody else is cruising along. Yeah, three teams with 20 wins already. You've got, I mean, we have five teams in conference that have at least 8 wins. That includes Auburn, Alabama, Florida, us, and Ole Miss. I mean, fact is, and you already have a win over one of them, and you're going to face. Actually, all three of these guys coming up here in a minute. Or no, I guess we already lost to Alabama, but
Yeah, but we got Auburn and Tennessee left.
and
It's
Florida.
just, I mean, when you look at it, you're just like, dude, I mean, there's just no chance to come up for air, which I love though. I absolutely love that. It's the same reason I love,
Baseball.
love baseball, love softball, and even football most years. There's some years where there's some real clankers in the league, but it's frustrating, but man, it is fun to watch.
Especially when you're competitive in it, right? I mean, when you're in the thick of it and you can be one of those teams that can get upset and everybody gets excited about it. Yeah, that's kind of a nice deal. Granted, much prefer not to get upset, but
Yeah, so Arkansas will be an interesting one coming up on Saturday.
it will.
Like we said, Cal normally gets his teams going this time of year, and they start to gel before they kind of flame out in the tournament, which is hilarious because, we all know that the expectations of Kentucky fans for football are really low, but their expectations for basketball are egregiously high in the sense that, like, they're almost unrealistic. So when you got, you're going to the tournament every year, and even if you bomb out in the first weekend, like, that's not acceptable to Kentucky. Like, at Kentucky, you should be Elite Eight every single year, which, sidebar, apparently Texas basketball fans think the same. They think that they should be in the Elite Eight every year, and that's why they should fire Rodney Terry.
When's the
Now,
last
I
time
think
they
they should fire
made?
Rodney Terry, don't get me wrong,
Yeah.
but in what world, like, you have to understand, and I know people want to talk, we always use the phrase blue bloods, right? And
Oh,
I
yeah.
know that Texas has had a successful basketball program, but Texas is not a basketball blue blood. I will
Absolutely not.
never entertain that thought. There are very few basketball blue bloods in my mind. It's North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky.
Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas. And to
Yeah.
me, that's it. UCLA is no longer a blue blood. I don't care what John Wooden did a million years ago. UCLA is not a basketball blue blood. You have to
Right.
maintain success to maintain that identity as a blue blood. And Texas basketball has not done that. And
No.
so I don't know where they get this idea that they're blue bloods, but they're just not.
Okay. So let's consider this for a minute. Let's looking ahead, looking back at Texas, right? Let's look at their Elite Eights that they've made. Their last one they made one in 2023. The previous one before that was 08.
And their fans think that it should be every year is the
Every
standard.
year.
Elite Eight is the standard. I'm going to tell you right now. Look, if you want to say Sweet 16 is your standard, that's a little more reasonable, right?
Sure.
But again, like every year, that's complete bonkers. You know what's really funny? Just off kind of off the cuff here, those four teams we named as Blue Bloods, all of
Yeah, I know. That was kind of
them
the irony of the situation.
are blue.
That's a weird deal. It's like if you look at football and if you look at basketball, it's kind of opposite. You have a lot more red teams that have been dominant in football historically compared to what you see in basketball. Well, especially like the distribution in basketball is a lot higher, right? Like you just see so much more of these blue flavored teams. I don't know why that's the case. It just worked out that way, I suppose. But Texas 100% not a blue blood in basketball.
They're not. They're a good program.
Sure.
Like, there's no denying that they're a good program. But for them to think that they're blue bloods and they should be in the Elite Eight every year, and again,
Right.
these are quotes coming from people on message boards who tend to be the most extreme of the extreme, right?
Right.
Like, come up with the most asinine opinions.
Well, you want to take another example of this that actually I really like. We talk about blue blood. Let's take blue bloods and apply it to baseball for a minute. Would you consider USC, the Trojans, to be a blue blood in baseball? Historically, they have 12 national titles, which is double the next closest, which happens to be Texas. But the problem is, when was the last time they won one?
I guess 70s.
70s, 80s, long damn time ago. Like if I go in here
What's
and see USC
what's
baseball.
funny is, and it's a little bit jaded, and I don't know why it this kind of sticks in my head. If I think of West Coast baseball,
Yeah.
I think of Cal State Fullerton and Long Beach State. Those are
Okay.
the first ones that come to mind just because I remember they're dominant, or like I remember those teams in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and looking back at this, right? So USC won the title in 98. Previous to that was 78, then 74, 73, 72, yada, 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 all the way back to
Yes, it's
60.
rolled through the 70s.
All right. So that was a team, sure, historically, if you want to call them a blue blood, absolutely. The last time they made the NCAA tournament was 2015, 10
See,
years
and this is what I'm talking about. Like, you can lose your blue blood status. Nebraska is not a college football blue blood, all right? They're
anymore.
just not, right? The USC is not in baseball. In baseball, I think you have very few blue bloods. And I think in baseball, it's really even harder, quite frankly, just because that's how baseball is. But,
Right.
if you think about current blue bloods in college baseball, you're probably thinking Mississippi State and South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
LSU.
LSU is, well, LSU
100%.
always be a blue blood in
And you
baseball.
know what? I'll go ahead and call it what they are. Texas is a blue blood in baseball.
Texas is a baseball blue blood. And
Absolutely.
what's funny is you think about just geographically, nobody from the north is a best baseball blue blood. Nobody.
With one key exception. They're and they haven't been very like dominant in recent years, but if you look at like Minnesota Golden Gophers, historically they were a very good baseball school.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, historically, Army won national titles, but again, like historically they were, but they're not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oregon State's been a good program. You could probably lop
Yes.
them into there for recent. They'd
Yeah.
be the only, but they're not really North. They're the Pac Northwest. So I differentiate between that, you know.
Right. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Minnesota, I mean, yeah, they've won three national titles. Granted, last time they won one, 1964. It's been a long time. And
Yeah,
so,
so again, like you can be the historical blue blood
right.
all day long. Like that's like you got to recognize that.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you don't maintain it, like you lose your status. That's always how I've looked at it.
Your history does not dictate your future. It just does not in sports, much less in the current environment of the sport. Right now, the hot hands are the teams that are frankly the ones that have been at the top of the level of exposure that we've seen. You look at teams like Texas A&M, you look at teams like Tennessee, you look at teams like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, they've had some down years in the last couple of, between Ole Miss and State, but they
It's
have.
being successful more often than not.
Right, as has a good chunk of the SEC. You can look at a team like Alabama, and you know they're going to have up years, they're going to have down years, but they will come up and surprise you. Auburn can come up and surprise you. Make Omaha one year, and everyone's like, "Whoa, what are they doing here?" That's the
Yeah.
beauty of the SEC. Any of those teams can do it, and even with our two additions, Oklahoma and Texas, they have made appearances in Omaha this decade. So it's the entire league is just absolutely freaking insane. And when you have all the preseason hype and all these people telling you that, oh, yeah, you're preseason number one, you got a brand new head coach, but you're going to be number one. You got some of the best pitching, some of the best hitting. And you just have to sit there and be like, no rat poison, man. No rat poison. We got to just power through it, man. We got to do it right.
I think this team embraces that. I really do.
Yeah.
This is such a great opportunity, and that's the beauty of baseball, though, is you can go out and lose a game and be okay. Before we close, we're gonna do season predictions, by the way.
Yes.
And I'll just have to pin them up my wall because baseball season's so long. Yeah, it's I think they embrace that kind of stuff. It's harder to be a blue blood in college baseball, I think,
Yeah.
just because of the fickle nature of baseball. In softball, I think you have Texas, you have Alabama, you have Oklahoma, you probably have UCLA in there.
Yeah.
Florida's probably a blue blood in softball.
I would say so.
But yeah, no, it's so crazy because, we talked about what Texas and Oklahoma were going to bring to the conference. Everybody talked about football, and I remember a big narrative was Oklahoma was about to find something out about themselves, and they're probably not going to like what they find out. The Texas hype, it doesn't matter. They could go play in the NFL, and they'd probably pick them to win the NFC East. Well, actually, that's not a very big accomplishment these
That's
days.
like.
Well, actually, it is. It
I was
just
about
the
to say
Cowboys.
Super Bowl champ Philadelphia Eagles.
The Cowboys suck. The Redskins and the Eagles are pretty damn good.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
My hell.
I can only
But
couldn't be me.
you look at softball and you brought in two of the true, like true blue bloods in the sport and like recent just absolute powerhouses.
Yeah.
So I will not complain about us not having to play them in the first year they're coming in. They did at least they did softball a favor because those are two programs that's just tough, man.
They
You
are.
have you've made the league harder than it already was, and it was damn hard enough.
Yeah.
So I guess we can just kind of segue. That's a good segue point to get into softball.
Yeah.
Softball has host the Aggie Classic, and they decide to kind of pull an Aggie basketball and start slow in their first few games.
Yeah.
Start really slow. And yeah, you're kind of wondering like what's going on because we're supposed to be the number seven team in the nation. And then they kind of put their foot down, in the mid to late innings. then they put their foot down in the mid late innings. And then I thought that comeback win over Baylor was absolutely massive. You know, because Baylor's good. Baylor was a top 20 team when we played them, and I doubt Baylor dropped because they lost to us, because that's probably their only loss. And so you know, just an amazing comeback against Baylor. And then you kind of start to see things click after that game. You know, they run Rule, I believe it was Purdue, to end the classic. Start their week, you know, start their season off with a perfect weekend. And then they're not home again until the 27th. It'll be 2 weeks before Aggie softball's back home, because they've got back-to-back out of state stuff, and they're in the Clearwater Invitational right now, out in Florida, which again is one of those where there's some okay competition, and then there's Florida State. So there's going to be a good matchup out there, you know, and from a different conference, you know, just like we had Baylor. You know, we'll have Florida State, which it'll be, you know, that's a little bit more formidable opponent than some of these invitationals, you know, invite, which is fine. I mean, we all understand the setup for these, but yeah. So it's really, honestly, this is a really tough stretch because you're just not home for 2 weeks. You know, in these invitationals, these classics, you know, not all of them are set up that way, but a lot of them are where you're playing double headers and they're trying to pack in as many games as possible. So it's really important for the Ags to get out of the Clearwater Invitational as unscathed as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you walk out with, you know, three, four wins out of what, five that they're going to be playing here.
Yeah, I believe they got five games. So, I mean, you really like to get, again, this reminds me of that five game stretch we were talking about with Aggie basketball, right? So yeah, you'd love five, right? Five would just be like,
Over the
whoa, crap.
moon.
We're better than seven, right? Like, because right now we're number five. So after last weekend, you know, we jumped up to number five. And so it's one of those where if you can get all five, you're going, okay, this is a better team than I even gave it credit for. And you know me, I'm high on Aggie softball this year. But if you can get out of 4-1, that's great. That's great, honestly. If you get to 3-2, there's no concern, but you just kind of wish you didn't drop it, because that means you dropped a game to somebody not named Florida State. Because the field isn't exactly loaded. I mean, they're playing Wichita State right now. Just got out of a jam, heading to the top of the fifth, up 3-1. So 4-1, I think, is really kind of where you're still really thrilled about it. 5-0 is ecstatic. 3-2, again, not disappointed. We're not running for the hills. We're not burning down the barn. It's just, you want to see what happened in that loss, who was playing the lineup, because that's the other thing about these invitationals, these classics. When you're playing teams, and they'll never admit to this out loud, but when you're playing a team that you know you're better than, you're going to mess with your lineup to just kind of see some other tweaks and see what maybe works and who works where, because you feel like even if you're tweaking with stuff, you should be able to out-talent them, if nothing else, right?
Right, you see the same thing in baseball on those
Oh,
Tuesdays,
yeah.
right? You know,
Absolutely.
it's a very common thing to kind of shell out some additional players and just get some key experience because those players will be useful down the line and you may discover
You're
some
going to need them.
talent.
I mean, baseball season will tell you that you're going to need them. And that's why opening day, it's Elon, right? We're playing Tesla opening weekend. Like, there's no reason to rush Cain Sorrell back.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's going to be out for a little bit, which is I'm okay with.
Man, Terrence Keel getting valuable reps, being able to get out there, you know, first pitch, get the butterflies out, realize that it's obviously different. And I thought that scrimmage was great for them because of how many people showed up. You know, that's it, you know, it's so representative of the 12th man, obviously. And you know, our baseball fans are no different. They're no less, you know, insane than football.
If not
And
more.
so, you know, they got a little bit of taste of just what a game is like at Olsen. And so, but you know, but you're still a freshman, right? And so for him to be able to get out there, you know, just get the flutters out and then just go play baseball. Play the game that you've played forever that you love. And he is an absolute, like, elite, elite, elite runner.
Which
So
I'm excited for.
I'm really excited for it. I'm excited for him to get those reps. I'm excited to see some of the different combinations. I think first base will be interesting. You know, I've heard Bender up is having, you know, he's had a great had a great fall. What's his name? The guy we brought in, Bergevin, or whatever it is. Yeah, Bergevin or something like that. So a lot of people thought that he was going to come in and take over first. But you also have to remember he put up some really crazy stats in not quite the same level baseball. And you combine that with how Bender Up has been playing, in fall and scrimmages and blah 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 blah. I think I think it'll be interesting to see first base, the rotations, and I think another one to keep an eye on is going to be catcher. Because I think there's just good competition there.
There
And
is.
it's not that like we're concerned about having a good catcher. It's, man, we have a lot of depth behind the plate.
We
And
do.
there's enough athletic ability behind the plate where you've got a guy back there that if he has to, he could play in the field. And that's amazing, because catchers generally they're just it's a different body mold, it's a different set of skills. But at the end of the day, you're just catching the ball, whether it's on the ground or in the air. So it's yeah, I'm really excited to see that. And then obviously, I don't want to see us need a closer
No, but it's good to
against
have one.
Elon. Yeah, against Elon. But I also know that even if we don't need it, we're going to need to run them out there so they can get the feel of coming in and getting the last 3 to 4 outs.
Right. I mean, that's why you play so many of these early games. Put yourself in a situation where you know that you're going to have these type of situations in order to win a championship. We've seen it. We've been there. We know what the assignment is now. You know what you need to do to win it. And you need to have good pitching on the back end. You need good timely hitting, and you need good, just good strategy on the field whenever you're running the base pass and all that other fun crap, which, it's kind of been up and down in previous seasons, but hey.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of plus running and above on this team. Like we just don't. Laviolette's elite, Terrence Kill's elite. We were talking about this morning, but we don't have a bunch of plus runners. So, like, I
No.
wouldn't expect a ton of movement on the bases this year, quite frankly. I think it'll be very tactical when we're moving on the bases or deciding to stop or send. But that's the thing about baseball. And you see it in football. Schedule one good opponent, make sure the rest of your out of conference is cupcakes, and in football, some of that just honestly has to do with, do you really want to go play three monster games, screw with your postseason hopes, probably get people hurt? It's kind of one of those things.
Even
Whereas, and
before
I
you
know that you can
get,
get hurt playing baseball, but it's not like you're running into a brick wall 40 times in a game. And so these are important series for a lot of reasons. So I like the schedule. I like how it opens. That invitation playing down at the Juice Box. That's going to be a great one. Oklahoma State and I believe what Arizona State or Arizona. I think it's Arizona. Those are both two really good teams that we'll be challenging ourselves with. But the rest of non-conference, just do what you do. Play the Sams of the world. Play the SFAs. Play the McNeeces. Like, and use those opportunities to learn your team, learn your lineups, learn what works and learn what doesn't. And so I'm excited for this weekend. I expect I mean, we're not going to predict series by series. That's bonkers unless you really want to, but I expect a sweep this weekend.
I mean, we absolutely should, and anybody who says otherwise hasn't been paying attention. I mean, A&M should sweep.
Or is an Elon grad?
And you know what? I say we win the series, all of a sudden we get a bunch of Teslas. How about that? I think that's fair.
If we sweep.
If we sweep, yes. Fair enough.
Yeah,
But
big weekend. So softball, obviously, like I said, they're playing right now, heading to the bottom of the fifth. They're up. I'd like to see them up by more, but again,
give it time. We've seen that they can score a lot in the late innings.
But they first travel set of the season. So just getting back in the groove of having to travel on the road, not sleep in your own bed. But again, all the confidence in the world in softball and baseball. Do we have any questions or anything?
We did. Let me
Okay, so before we get into those, let's go ahead and do this. You know what? I'll do a little bit bigger piece of paper. I was going to do just season prediction, but I think I'm going to do a little bit more. All right. So it's back to prediction time. I was just going to do the overall season record, just regular season. But I'll do something a little bit more. So But we'll start off with regular season predictions.
Okay.
There's 55 games. So I just need a record. But what's their record going to be after 55 games?
After 55 games, I'll tell you what. I think they'll be, let's see. I think we'll be 43 and 12.
43 and 12. All
I
right.
think it'll be 43 and 12. I think you got to drop. I'd say I think we'll drop a few games here and there. Yeah, I said for regular season. Yeah, we'll go 43 and 12 regular
Yeah,
season.
just regular season. We're not talking. Yeah, we're not. Yeah. We'll get into that.
Yeah, because we're gonna drop games.
Right. I believe this is an incredibly special season, so I'm keeping them in single digits for losses regular season. I'm going 46 and 9.
I'm cool with it. If that's how it pans out, I'm not gonna complain.
That's unbelievable. So I'm going to go 46 and 9.
Do it.
Right. Home run leader. Who's it going to be and how many is he going to hit?
God. Oh, man. It's so hard not to pick against Jace, but
I mean, there's Gavin Cash and there's Grohovac. Those are your three really big bets.
yeah, I know. I don't know. You know what? I bet. I don't know. How many home runs did old Laviolette get last season? I wonder. Let me go take a peek. I don't
Well, I'm going
recall.
to stick with what I said this morning on the fan show.
Okay, well, yeah,
I'm
what'd you say?
taking Jace. I'm taking Jace.
Okay.
And he's going to hit 28 bombs this year.
Okay. I like that.
I don't know. I think he was like low to mid-20s last year.
Yeah, I think somewhere in there. You know what, I'll give Gavin Grohovec 25 home runs.
You're going Grohovic?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Gavin Grohovec 25 home runs. And I
25.
what I'm hoping for, we'll see if it pans out this way. I would like to see a good distribution of home runs from the boys. I want to see a nice spread. Maybe not necessarily as many big leaders per se, but I mean, if we had a couple guys plus 20, I'm not going to cry. Is what
Yeah,
I'm that's what I'm getting at.
you ain't lying. Yeah, my only concern with Jace is they're going to pitch around.
Right. And we'll see. You're the number one overall preseason pick, right? I mean, people are.
That's why you got to bat him lead off, man. Give him as many bats as possible.
You got to.
Where will we finish in the SEC regular season? I don't care about the SEC tournament. I just don't care.
Okay. I say we win the conference. I think we're gonna
Is
do it.
everyone win?
I say we win the conference. And if I had to make my prediction on a conference record there, like that's where my brain went. I was thinking 21-9.
21 and 9. So you got three non-conference losses.
I had three non-con losses. Just built in because some goofy ass Tuesday is gonna creep up on us. Maybe, we'll see what happens in that little side tournament with Oklahoma State. Maybe one of these non-con, I mean, one of these games with Cal Poly. I don't know. I'm just being realistic with my picks.
I'm going to go 21 and 9 in conference. Perfect non-conference record.
I'm cool with that too.
I'm
Like I
going
said,
to jump on you with the 21 and 9.
that's fine. I think that's a good healthy number to win the conference. I think if you win 21 of your 30 conference games, you're probably winning the thing.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to do who has the most wins because I think we'll both say Prager.
Right.
And he honestly, he needs to have the most wins on
He
staff.
does. Well, because
Yeah.
you got to set the tone, man. Like you said, you kick off your weekends. Like you said, win Friday, win Friday, win Friday, and then have fun from there. So, yeah, I would definitely want to lean on Prager for wins this season.
All right, I've got two more.
All right.
One, I don't know how much you've been digging into the roster just yet.
Not a ton, but go ahead.
Who's going to lead the team in saves?
That I couldn't tell you. I honestly hadn't really dug too deep on that. But
Mean, you've got guys with experience on the staff. You've got guys that are piping the ball at 100. I'm going way out on a limb here, and I'm going to pick Fresh Corn.
Okay.
I think he's going to. I just have faith that he's going to settle down. He's a freshman, right? He's going to settle down. Or excuse me, is he a freshman? Or
He
junior?
is a sophomore.
Sophomore. That's right. I just He's got filthy stuff. I've been hearing stuff about him coming out of camp. I'm going with him.
I'll go with him too, because I don't know much, so might as well.
Well, my other thought would have been maybe Moss.
Sure. Yeah, what is
But
that?
again, we don't know whose role is going to be what, right? Like he can
Right.
be an outstanding middle reliever.
Yeah, we don't know. And
So
a lot of that will shake out as the season goes.
yeah. And then final, what? I mean, okay. I'm assuming we both assume we're going to be a national seed. I mean, if you're saying we're going to win the SEC, you're a national seed, right? Oh, by the way, I said we're going to finish second in conference.
Okay, cool. Who do you have us behind?
Huh?
Who do you have us behind?
Tennessee.
Tennessee? Okay.
Hey, look, in Vitello, I trust. He might be a jerk, but
Hey, he's a jerk, but he's certainly no Schlossnagel.
no, yeah, he's just real brash. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's not an
That's
asshole.
like, it's incredible how fast I went from, oh, that irritating, annoying Vitello and his antics and yada 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 to being like, you know what? He came and supported us after all this crap. Maybe he's not so bad.
He's not. He's that guy that when he's in the dugout and he's on the field, he just kind of comes across as a turd.
He does come across as a turd, but it
It
obviously,
happens.
yeah, and it obviously produces results. So,
Yeah, if I tell you what, if you were a Georgia fan the other night, you'd think Solo Washington was a turd. God, he
oh
loves a turd. Boy, he loves a turd. Yeah, so we're all assuming that we're going to be a national seed.
sure.
What's going to be our seed?
All right. I think A&M will be a 2 seed.
You're going to go with the two?
I think we'll be a 2 seed.
Okay, so oddly enough, we're not going to win the SEC, but we're going to be a one seed.
All right. Not win the SEC, but be a 1 seed. Okay.
We're going to be second place in the SEC. And as much as I don't care about it, I think it's very possible we win the tournament,
I think we could.
which in theory, they're not supposed to care about.
Well, in theory, but also we've been proven that that's not the case all the time.
Yeah,
So.
it's a bunch of horse pucky. All
Yeah.
right, so I'm going to pin this up. So these are our preseason predictions. I'm going to go and pin this up on the old cork board here so it doesn't get lost in my shuffle of papers. All right, let's get some questions and get out of here.
All right, let's go ahead and let me. I got to go back over because it was actually a DM this time, but it was from our. But it was from our pal, Jive Coach G. He did have a question. He said, what is the Aggie baseball game day tradition you're most looking forward to? For me, it's the sausage race. F beefy. It's summer sausage all the way. Hashtag come on, you wieners.
The sausage race. That's funny.
Love the sausage race.
I've got two. Yeah, this is my two favorite traditions. I probably couldn't pick between one. Obviously, one of them being more recent than the other.
Sure.
It's counting the number of the choo-choo trains,
Oh, yeah.
of the engines, and bubbles. The bubbles have become such a staple. You know, it's one of those things where, like, remember the Pringles? Like they kind of came and went.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad the bubbles have stuck around and they have infiltrated Davis Diamond
Oh,
now.
yeah,
Like,
big time.
bubbles are just our thing. I love it. I'm a West Ham fan, so obviously I love bubbles. At one point, I was a child, so therefore, obviously, I love bubbles.
Everybody likes bubbles, man, except for opposing pitching. And apparently Mississippi State fans, this will forever be one of my favorite stories, was when the first season that we started breaking out bubbles. Do you remember when that was? 2015. We are coming up on 10 years of Aggie bubbles.
I
10
just
years.
remember them having the fish one, you know, that sits there.
Yep. I still have one of the OG fish. They had. It was the red fish with the blue tail, yada, yada, yada. And they would, stick it out of the dugout anytime we were scoring home runs at that point. But eventually it got to the point where the rest of the
Bled over.
stands, yeah, and it just became, all right, you score a run, we're blowing bubbles. And that became a deal. Later on that season, we played against Mississippi State. And I remember vividly that old head coach was actually complaining throughout the game that the bubbles were a safety hazard. And we're just like, oh,
So
he's so scared of the bubbles. Oh.
here's my take on this. It's like football, right? If you don't like it, stop them from scoring.
Right. Well, and like they have any room to talk with their cowbells.
Of all the schools.
Right. I mean,
It's not a
you
safety.
guys have artificial noisemakers at your sports events because you can't make enough noise on your own, apparently.
The cowbells are a safety hazard because I'm going to shove one of them down your throat.
Indeed. And if you can't say you, we've both been to Starkville. They're not great.
No. I will say, though, like one of my favorite parts about the bubbles, though, is every year seeing people somehow finding bubble machines that are even more obnoxious. Like, just absolutely, remember, it's like the days of the super soakers, right? Remember the first super soakers came out? You're like, man, these things are great. And then they started getting bigger. And you're like, these things are awesome. And then that rich kid down the street shows up and he had like the backpack that went with the super soaker. And like, he could basically like strip chrome off a bumper with it because it was so much like a so high of a PSI. Like, the bubble machines have gotten completely out of control. And I am so here for it.
Well, you know what? I would love literally West Ham. I would love like a West Ham in style, in inspired industrial big ones that you've set up
Yeah,
on
they've
this
got
like.
those little ones they put on the dugouts, but
I would put bigger ones over like flanking the scoreboard, and they would just start shooting out from the scoreboard. Like, come
well,
on.
my thought was, just the overhang, and mosquito misters, right, that you put around your fence, do a bubble mister all around the edge of it. Now, I don't think a bubble mister exists, so there's your next $1 million idea, any entrepreneurs out there, but able to put like a running like and just seriously just completely blow it out. If somebody was smart, they'd go on Aggie Alley. Well, I don't know about smart because you're spending a crap ton of money on a bubble machine. But if anybody wanted to, it's just like TCU, football games, they have the foghorn and baseball games too, but it's outside the stadium. If somebody get one of those industrials and just put it over there in Aggie Alley and just shoot bubbles into the, yeah.
I'm cool with that. If I had to pick mine, I would say in between a couple. Obviously, I love the bubbles. The bubbles are amazing. I think that's probably been the most uniquely added thing into our little world that has maintained, just whammy bubbles, the whole shebang. Love that. Previous to that, honestly, the Rifleman is just such a classic for me. I love the Rifleman after shot after strikeouts. And of course, I mean, who can cry about ball five, man? I mean,
Yeah, I
that
was about to
is.
say, yeah, ball five is, I mean, that has swept the nation, and so many people are copying us, and what is it? An increase of form of flattery kind of thing. But yeah,
Absolutely.
ball five is awesome.
Right. And anybody anywhere who will sit back and say, well, that wasn't necessarily originally an A&M thing. It absolutely was, first and foremost. Secondly, and more importantly, every other version of it that exists is a pale,
Sucks.
sad comparison. But I appreciate, especially when I've seen videos of little leagues doing it. Like, you
Yeah.
have fans at little league games doing this. I'm like, you know what? That's kind of fun. It's cool. There was one additional question that G reached out to me for. And this was soccer related, so we're gonna pivot a little bit.
Coach J, I would assume Jive Coach G and not
Jive
Coach.
Coach G.
Okay.
Yes, Jive Coach G. He was curious if I would talk about he said, yeah. Please tell me that you watched the Everton Liverpool match. Would love to hear more about it, specifically the historic ground atmosphere rivalry and its transition.
I watched it.
I said I didn't get a chance to watch until later, and I went back and watched the
No,
highlights. All I
I
can
watched it.
say, Michael Oliver might be an actual criminal. That was insanity, but that does not excuse the fact that Liverpool had their opportunities to score. You still end up walking away with a 2-2 match. You're now sitting 7 points ahead, completely on hand. Now, as far as the rivalry, one thing I really do appreciate. What are you chuckling about over there? Go ahead. Let it out.
More like the point is great, but most importantly, the series ended tied. So like tied at the Derby at Goodison. So neither Liverpool, like the overall record at Goodison Park. So like it was so huge for Everton that Liverpool couldn't hang that over their heads literally for the rest of their lives that they won more games at Goodison than Everton did. And I thought that was insane. And not to mention Tarkowski's shot was complete, like just an absolute belter.
That was a great
But
shot.
yeah, the chippiness at the end, like after the match, like that's what a derby's for, man.
Well,
Oh, so great.
Well, a lot of people historically have referred to it as the friendly derby, which is hilarious because if you look at Liverpool, kind of similar to, Jive Coach G being a Nottingham Forest fan, Forest and Notts County, the two stadiums are like right next to each other. It's the exact same situation in Liverpool. You have a giant park in between where Anfield is and where Goodison Park is. And it's so cool because those town, like typically your club support is based on where the hell you were born. Like if you were on the west side of London, you're going to support your west side clubs, whichever one was closest to you. That's just pretty typical. Liverpool's not at all like that. It's far more dispersed amongst everybody else. Typically, Everton fans, at least in general, they like to consider themselves as true Merseyside people, people who are from Liverpool. Whereas Liverpool fans, yes, there are plenty of them within Liverpool itself. Liverpool is a far more international brand. And that was something I had to discover coming, kind of coming into the rivalry. But that's the thing. I've never liked the Toffees for that specific reason. There's always been a little bit of back and forth there.
Is
And
their
I
home bred?
was that?
Is their home bred?
Is there home bred?
Nobody likes Everton outside of Liverpool, man.
No, apparently not.
Like West Ham. Nobody outside of East London gives a shit about West Ham. But
No, but
no,
the next
it was a good match, and
it was.
honestly, it was interesting to see how it was called in the sense that there was a. It was what football used to look like, quite frankly.
Sure.
And it went both ways. That was the thing. It was clear that there wasn't any sort of agenda one way or the other. It was just like he just let them play. I mean, it was tough. And I watched a lot of the like post-match and some of the analysis and stuff. And they're like, I mean, it was great for a derby, to let them beat on each other. But they're like, both managers can complain about it because it was bad both ways.
No, it was
Like,
bad.
it was bad both ways,
Yeah.
but that's bad both ways in the sense that that's what we've gotten used to as football. See, for
Yes.
me, like that was great football. Like, let's go just beat the crap out of each other for 90 minutes and see what happens. I'm all about it.
Yeah. Well,
So
and
sick of dudes rolling around on the floor like they've been shot.
right. Like I said, I will say there was it was a very competitive match, and typically so that is one of the old school, and you've been there. You've been to Goodison Park, right?
Yeah.
It's like you went. So
It's
the old,
amazing. I
yeah, the
can't believe they're.
old, yeah, it kills me because those old tissue box stadiums, that is
So great. That's
English
football.
football to me. Yeah, that's English football to me. And so when you see Everton kind of moving away from it, on one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, man, there's so much. I mean, you could have done kind of what Liverpool did with Anfield, just kind of expand upon it, but still keep the structure and keep doing what you're doing with it. But, each club's got to do what they got to do. And
Could have done that with Upton too.
yeah, exactly.
It's the big money grab in football. It's not just Premier
yeah.
League either, frankly.
Well,
It's
and
just a
yeah.
shame.
Right. And I do feel the same way about Upton Park. That was a good historic ground for West Ham, and it should have maintained, but
If Forest somehow maintains some incredible success over the next 10 to 15 years, they can expect to lose the City Ground.
they could, yeah, unfortunately. And well, the beauty, like I said, I guess the beauty and the
So much
curse of being a,
money.
yeah, I'd say there is the beauty and the curse of being a big club is you will unfortunately come across the idea of we more and bigger stadium, more amenities, higher prices out the fans.
And no
There's a
more
lot of issues.
concessions.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. But yeah, I mean, just to highlight it, yeah, I think Liverpool and Everton, that's a fantastic derby for those who've never caught up with it. I
Merseyside Derby.
Merseyside. And I said, we're Scouse. We're not English, we're Scouse.
Yeah, they are.
Old Scousers. But yeah, how's the rest of your week looking? What do you got going on?
Oh, well, I mean, now that we're doing it on Thursdays, the rest of my week is a Friday.
Let's say you got fun plans for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Premier League's back after the break last weekend. So, well, Premier League got a little bit of work I got to do this weekend. It's realtors working on the weekend, man. This is how it goes. But not a ton. I'm actually working on a social media project. I'm gonna go recreate a ton of like memes and a handful of GIFs. And I've got a lot of like snarky realtor phrases. So I'm gonna start pushing that on my social media. Yeah, it's Nothing rude, but it'll be kind of like, this is what realtors want to say to our clients.
Right.
And so just kind of having fun with social media. So gonna do a photo shoot Saturday, indoors, because the weather's gonna be stinky, like at the time that I am available to do it.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then hopefully a little bit on Sunday once it clears up. But so that'll start coming out on Insta on my stories, hopefully sometime soon.
Yeah, and it's definitely gonna get cold next week. Looking forward to that.
Oh
Oof.
yeah, I thought today was cool. Like today was biting because of that wind. Like the
Yes.
temperature wasn't terrible, but it was biting with that wind. And then I saw the projections for next week, and I'm like,
Wind chills sub 10. Yeah, it's gonna get cold next
I'm
week.
out.
Yeah,
Well.
that's it. Well, and if I end up making up to the game on Tuesday next week, ooh, buddy, that's gonna be a cold night. I'll tell you that much. I said
Yeah,
back in Temple.
I really need to get my orange tree into the ground, but with the temperature coming next week, I don't want to do it this weekend.
Yeah, I'd hold off, you know.
Leave it in the garage with it. I got a little heater for my tree. I have oranges. I have oranges.
There you
I mean,
go.
they're still green and they're, about the size of a grape, but
So.
maybe one day they'll be big and orange.
You know, that's the end goal, right? It's a get to the
Ideally.
end of the journey.
It's weird because I don't really eat oranges. I just thought it was nice to buy.
I mean, why not? Get you some oranges. As previously mentioned, we do have our updated show list, one of which I mentioned, Billy Bob's. So that is coming up on March 7th. Tickets are on sale now, either through Billy Bob's or CarsonJeffrey.com. Be sure to go to either one of those. If you are in Dallas Fort Worth and want to come check us out in March, would love for to see you all there. That would be awesome. Still trying to confirm an actual date for the album release. It's coming. I swear to God, it's coming at some point. We'll see. The way things are kind of working out for us right now. I'm excited to go watch some baseball tomorrow. Pumped. Going on a date Saturday, which I'm excited for. And then Sunday, we're going down to Carson's house to go do a little filming content. Just been working, doing my music lessons, and that's been great. Got some availability on Monday right now for additional stuff. So if you know anybody that's looking for voice lessons or bass lessons, holler at your boy. I'll be happy to help you. But
There you go.
In the meantime, be sure to follow us on our socials. That's gonna be Roy May 15 on X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, and Rob Slapper on both, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to like, leave a comment, please subscribe, tell your friends, and we're gonna be talking a lot of baseball. We're gonna be talking a lot of softball, and we'll talk whatever the hell else you guys want to hear
Except
about.
for another couple months, we're gonna be talking basketball still too.
As I said, we're still going to be talking basketball, that's for sure. So, I mean, there's plenty to talk about, which is always better than worse. So, I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Elon. Beat the hell out of the Clearwater Classic. Beat the hell out of Arkansas. Gig 'em. We'll see y'all next time.